As you know, I try to get a little bit of exercise in once in a while, and last week I had 2 days that I was able to get to do a little exercise. And I met a young man a few weeks back, and we talked a little bit, and the Lord told me to bring him to an awareness of God's love. And he's got a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of stuff that pours out of him. And the Lord said, don't flinch. In other words, don't respond. Don't let any kind of response come out of your mouth to him or out of your experience. Don't get shocked when he expounds the pain that's in him. And he was expounding how he wants justice for everything and everyone. Someone in his family was wounded. And he went to their defense. Happens to be a young man. And we could go on and on, but the bottom line that the Lord was pushing me was, be his friend for a while. Listen. Don't put your opinion out there. Just listen. So he had expounded for about 20 minutes and letting all the stuff that was in him pour out. And I said, have you considered mercy? Oh, they don't deserve it. And so I said, well, I understand where you're coming from, because I've been there. How many know you want justice at all costs sometimes? And I reminded him, I said, well, I would definitely suggest that you consider why mercy would be important. And I says, it's only to just prod you a little bit so that you can go into a new place in your experience as you grow up and mature. He's probably 20-ish. So I want to take you to someone else. In John chapter 14, Philip. John chapter 14, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And you know, this morning as I was driving in, I said, Lord, is the Father visible through me? In other words, is the love that's in me visible? And he didn't respond. Because I really believe it's part-time. It's not full-time. Anybody relate? When I'm in the control room, that love does not show up. But when the Holy Spirit's in the control room, his love is visible in me. Because, see, he is the Spirit of love. So Philip said, show us the Father, and that will be enough. Now, if you back it up, verse 5 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? How many know Thomas needs proof for everything? How many of you and me need proof for everything? And sometimes he's not going to give it. Amen?
Amen.
He couldn't give Thomas an answer until he had risen from the grave. And even after he had risen and he had gotten reports about others saying, you know what, our Savior's out of the grave. I'll believe it when I put my fingers, etc., etc. Can any of you relate? Because sometimes we're so much into our emotions that the Father's love does not radiate through us. It is the frustration of the circumstances. Amen? The frustration of the thoughts, the mind, the will, the emotions, the body, the screaming, the yelling, the pain. All those things will draw you off of what may be God's plan. And I can remember Romans 8, says all things work together for good. But sometimes you want to cancel that prayer because of the pain that you're in, the circumstances you're walking into, the pressure tactics of the darkness, and in the midst of all those things, the Lord wants to radiate His love. But you and I are focused on other things. And I'm not blaming you because I've been there and I've walked in it. All I'm telling you is, as you declare the word, the angels will come out. As you declare His promises, His angels will begin again each day a new ministry to you. So now verse 6 says, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So now you know the process of the Father drawing on each one of us so that we can come to know the Savior. It is something sovereign that is actually in process in all of our lives, and yet for a great season of my life, I had no clue what He was doing with me. Now, if that was true for me, that is also true for some of those that you are ministering to or being an example to. And do they see the Father radiating through you? Or do they see your flesh? I would say they see both. How many have ever heard the words, well, that's your Christian, you're acting like this? Is this what you are as a Christian? Blah, blah, blah. With attitude. With attitude. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know? How many of you have actually experienced this? How you've lived it and you say, oh my God, boy, that sure wasn't the Holy Ghost coming out of my mouth or out of my actions. And I'll be honest with you. I'm positive that Philip was saying, show us the Father. Why? Because he knows the Father is supposed to be a loving, compassionate creator. Verse 7, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. From now on, you do know him. Knowledge, intimacy with knowledge, with an awareness. You know that you know. My God, they're having a hard time right now, so I'll intercede for them. That's what that lifesaver, I believe, is all about. And those of you who have a press, don't stop interceding for those who are in pain. I'm not talking about just physical. I'm talking about spiritual, emotional, etc., etc. Because that's what the body of Christ is all about. And when you're hurting to a degree, sometimes you kind of just say, okay, like Maria pointed out, hey, take me home. If I'm misbehaving, take me home. I said those words. Was it a good word? Was it a Holy Ghost word? No, it was an emotional word. It was a stretched out space where I didn't want to go on anymore. I talked to you guys about Elijah sitting under the broom tree. He would end up cleaning up the house of David. But there was a season that he was so depressed he didn't want to live. Please say amen, some of you, because do you understand where I'm coming from? You know, his destiny was to be a sweeper, a clean sweep, to get rid of all of the darkness and all of what the Baal worship was all about. But in reality, he felt like he was useless. His emotions had been tampered with. I know some of you are sitting right in that space right now. Amen. Put your hands way up. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you're alive in me. And I'm reminding me right now that your Holy Spirit is more than able to shock and awe me, to transform me, to transform me into your creation. Not my own feelings. Not my despair. Being focused on. And sometimes confessed. Because I get so desperate for relief. That I'll confess the problem. And I confess now. That's sin. That's really focusing on the problem. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask for the blood to wash my mind clean. And wash my heart clean. I don't want to lose the walk I've had with you. The experiences I've had. I need to focus on the victories I've had. And not be like Thomas. If I'm related to him, Lord, I know there's still hope for me. But I'd rather be like Philip. I want to see my father in my brother, in my sister. I want to see the Creator. I want to see his love pouring out towards me and feel it. And be aware of it. And be conscious of it. Not to be fearful of their strategy to destroy me. Because that's the weapon of the enemy. So I can cancel their words of destruction. I don't need to take them into my heart. Because they're not from God. Amen? So I will see my brother. But I'll see the Father present in them, interceding for me, lifting me back up, getting me out of the dirty water. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I thank you that I'm sitting under the fountain of life, and the living water is washing me clean. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And I'll say like Philip. I want to see Father more than ever. I want to see and radiate all the love he has for me out to those that are hurting more than me. Amen? Because many in the body are hurting more than I am. Press them into my heart, Lord.
Press them into my heart, Lord.
And I'll do my best to obey. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I want to take you back to the Word one more time. Verse 7 is extremely important. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Past tense. Philip said, oh, show us the Father. And that will be enough. In other words, Philip is so concentrated on the problems, he cannot even hear what his Savior has said to him. And yet he's evidenced all the miracles for whatever, 2-3 years going. And he's having a problem. So is it so odd that you and I should have a problem? No. Is it hopeless to be sitting under the broom tree? No. Did Elijah visit the broom tree? Yes. Did Philip visit this broom tree? Where do you think he is right now? I'm not speaking natural. I'm talking about his experience. Jesus said to him, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time. Hear me. What is this cry? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So the Lord is trying to wake up this man of God. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me. Now, you might think that that would break the walls, that would shatter the enemy, but watch. It is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Then he says to him, verse 11, believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Why do you think he puts believe me in there? Because he has to activate his belief system. There are times in stretched out spaces that I have even lost hope. And I would say to the Lord, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Okay. This past week, I have a sister who is 13 or 14 years older than me. She had to quit school when I was born. Because there was my brother that was already roughly 18 months, and one of my other sisters was taking care of him. But since I'm the 21st child, that created a problem. And Mama was not well. She was physically in a very, very desperate space. I had been a problem during her entire pregnancy. Now I understand why, because there was a calling on my life and she wanted a son that would serve the Lord. She gave me my uncle's name, who happens to be Elijah, and he was a Roman Catholic priest, so I was declared that I was a priest before I was born. They made arrangements so that I would be called by that name 2 months before I was born. So a preparation was made to give me away. But you don't give away a baby until the door opens. It's got to be the God, Holy Ghost door. And to make a long story short, my sister was asked to leave school so that she could take care of this crybaby. I understand I was quite a crybaby, so... Can I tell you? Part of the nature of whatever I was at the time. But to make a long story short, I'm conversing with her this week. And in my conversation, she says to me, have you any idea what it was like for those 9 months that I took care of you? How many know that at 14, 9 months can be an eternity for a teenager? I mean, you know, I was just a major problem with major attitude. Okay? And it was ongoing. It wasn't just a spot here and there. I mean, it was an everyday thing. And she says to me, because we cried together and hadn't talked to her for quite a while because emotionally I wasn't ready. How many know sometimes your emotions aren't ready to do something? So you have to wait. And you have to wait on the Lord. Because he'll power you and he'll empower you. He'll strengthen you and he'll give you grace. But you got to wait for that moment. And I knew it was the right moment because emotionally I was doing okay. Until she said a couple of things. And then, of course, the tears started rolling. And then I told her, I says, I got excess water in my head. Because that's the expression she uses whenever she cries for nothing. I said, no, I said, you're not the only one. It's your fault. I said, you must have trained me with all this extra water. So now we're both crying. And she says, well, there's something about this particular individual that I never told you about. I said, oh. And I had a check in my spirit. The Lord said, just let her unload. Let her expound what she needs to say. So she gave me the scenario, she gave me the circumstances, and then she declared what she declared. And it happens to be about another one of our sisters. Now, I've got 9 of them, so don't worry. I mean, I'm not going to identify which one is which, and I'm not going to tell you that. What I am saying is the older sister was having a problem with me. And I was given away in July of 1940. I was brought to Drummondville, where this same sister, this 14-year-old, went with me. And they stayed with Paul and Amelia for a few days, and then, of course, sent her home. But in September, my real mother wanted me back. So Paul and Amelia, the ones that really did bring me up, got back on a train and had to give up this baby that they had now had there in their home with another one of my sisters that looks just like Maria. So that's why when Maria talks, it's like listening to my big sister. And it was quite a trip, and I guess I cried all the way going, and I made my presence known. And they brought me back. They brought me back on a Saturday or Friday night, Friday in the afternoon or whatever. Now, I'm told by my sister this week, she said, and you cried from the moment you walked into the house with your parents. They left, and she says, now I'm stuck with mom and dad, meaning my biological parents. And I bawled and I cried because I was crying for mama. These had been mom. There were two. There was the one that gave me birth. There was my sister that's 14. She gave me love. She gave me acceptance and care. So I teased her and I says, you know, I says, now two I have on the other side. So you got to be strong because I need you around for a long time. I says, you're the only other mother I have. So we stopped the bawling at that point because she had a purpose to keep on going. She says, it was Saturday morning the next day. And she said, your mom, biological, had to go to work. Now, no choice. Business had to go. My father couldn't read or write. She had an ability to continue to keep the books to a degree. And there was a big business to run and a lot of kids to feed. And the older sister, the one that had a problem with me being there, said to my biological mom, yes, and you all, we have a lot to do, and there's one more to take care of. Guess who were the one more? What? Me. Have you ever been the focus of rejection?
Big time.
My sister said, I've never told you because I didn't want you to know. I said, well, I've got news for you. I've known for a long time. God revealed it to me when I had a surgery on my knee. And I went through a whole scenario of what God did to show me to forgive the one that had hurt me that I didn't know anything about. She says, you knew? I says, yeah, the Holy Spirit. Why am I saying that to you today? Close your eyes right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, I know the Holy Spirit is in me.
He's able to release to me.
Whoever has hurt me.
Whoever has hurt.
Whoever has rejected me. Whoever tried to take control.
Whoever tried to take control.
Of God's plan. To satisfy whatever they had in mind. Today. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. He's got a plan for my life.
He's got a love flow
right through me to shatter every dart of the enemy. Every lie, every deception.
Every piece of rejection.
Counteracted by love. Cannot succeed. Hallelujah. I'm declaring right now the flow of love which comes from my Father present inside of me shatters the enemy. It's breakthrough day. I'm breaking forth with loads of love and I will have all that God has promised me. in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 And amen. Now, Father, whatever they need to give in order to keep us going, give them the number that they need to obey with. Father, give them the grace to carry out the commission of loving each other, caring for one another as we go forth in this week, and to present themselves as instruments of love every step of the way. In Jesus' precious name, we pray.
Amen.